I'm going to do something here. I've never done this quite like this before. So I'm excited to see how it comes out. If you picked up an outline, the outline says Christmas, the Messiah, the message, and the messengers. And it really is in that order. It really is. Now, last week, we spent, and I skipped over two pages of notes, and we dug in and talked about almost everything the Bible says about angels. Angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, who obey the voice of His word, who do the will of God, who bring the pleasures of God to God. And angelic involvement. And this week we're going to talk about angelic involvement in the nativity, in the birth of Jesus. So we talked a ton about it last week. We're going to talk a little bit more today. So I just want to make one of those declarations today. This is Hebrews chapter 1. And if you thought about the Christmas story and you went to a passage of Scripture, it wouldn't be this. But what I want you to see is the difference the Bible makes between the angels of God and Jesus. It's remarkable. Hebrews 1:1. In many separate revelations, I'm reading now the Amplified Translation, each of which has set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke to our forefathers and by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us in the person of His Son. So right here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you're in the last days. But in these last days, He has spoken to us in the person of His Son, whom He appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Also, by and through whom He created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged all of them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine, and He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Wow. Upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. And when He had, by offering Himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and the riddance of guilt, He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which He Himself became as much superior to the angels as the glorious name which He has inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. Quite a comparison, isn't it? So, Jesus is the Son of God, Messiah. He's superior to the old covenant leaders, is what it says. He's the spokesman to us in these last days. He's the owner of all things. He created the world, the reaches of space, the ages of time. He made and arranged them in everything in order. He's the exact representation of the Father, the very image of God's nature. He upholds, maintains, guides, and propels the whole universe by His mighty word of power. He sacrificed Himself and cleansed us of all of our sins and guilt. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He is superior to angels. Ta-da! don't you want to kind of crescendo that just a little bit? That's a lot. And that's just the first four verses. Now, I didn't print the rest for you, but I'm going to read the rest for you. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say to you, my son, today I have begotten you, established you in an official sonship relation and with kingly dignity. And again, I will be a father to him a father, and he'll be to me a son. So did He ever say that to any angel? Uh-uh. Moreover, when He brings the firstborn son again into the habitable world, He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. So the angels are supposed to be worshiping Him. Referring to the angels, He says, God who makes His angels winds and His ministering servants flames of fire. But as to the Son, He says to Him, your throne, O God, is forever and ever to the ages of the ages, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness, justice, and straightforwardness. You have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness in purpose, thought, and action, and you have hated lawlessness, injustice, and iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, the Godhead, has anointed you with the oil of joy and gladness above all your companions. And further, you, Lord, did lay the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you'll remain and continue permanently. They will all grow old. There's a prophetic word. And wear out like a garment. Like a mantle thrown about oneself, you will roll them up and they will be changed and replaced by others. But you will remain the same, and your years will never end nor come to failure. Besides, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, associated with me my royal dignity, till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? That's us. So he says, Jesus is the King of Kings, and angels are supposed to worship and obey him. Big difference. Do you know there are religions that claim that Jesus is an angel? You knew that. This would be a direct disagreement with what the scriptures have to say. His throne is forever, and the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. He loves what the Father loves and hates what the Father hates, and he's anointed with joy above all others. One of the ways you get anointed with joy is to say, have the passion of God to love and the passion of God to hate, because he loves perfectly and he hates perfectly. How can God hate? Because he's God. Because when he does it perfectly. He's perfect. And so, well, pastor said, I have permission to hate, not the way you do it. No. Sorry. Amen. See? But the idea is, he is so God and so righteous and so just that he can't, if he hates, it has to be perfectly, or he wouldn't be God. Right. Angels, not so much. Fact is, a bunch of them goofed up. We won't go to that story, but that happened. Jesus is eternal and timeless and changeless. That's big. And angels are his servants, ministering spirits to help us who are the heirs of salvation. So we're going to talk some more now about angels and what they've done and what they do, but I want you to get it. These are servants of God. They're not like junior Jesus. Are you with me? And over in the scriptures, you can find an angel shows up, and because people don't see him that often, I guess, fall down and try to worship the angel. And the angel say, no, I work for him just like you do. Yeah. Don't do that. In fact, you're dishonoring him if you worship me. Amen. Right? Amen. And so they have to have an understanding of who the Lord is, because they might like the adoration, but that would be false. Right. And it'd be costly both to the angel and to the person doing the worshiping. Right? But that's consistently true in the scriptures. Angel goes, no, guys, don't do that. We've seen this happen that causes trouble. Don't do it. But angels actually are here for our benefit. His purpose, our benefit. So, seeing the role that they play in the Christmas story is pretty interesting. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. So these guys were well connected. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God. That's a big thing to say. But this is in the sight of God. He counted them as righteous. I'd like to tell you that they are very human because they're human. But in the eyes of God, he says, I'm counting that as righteous. He did the same thing with Abraham. He said, all this is going to happen. Every nation, every family in every nation is going to be blessed because of you. Look at the stars. You look at the sands on the sea. All of that stuff, your offspring is going to be more than all of that. And Abraham said, amen. That's what he said. He just said yes. No concept of what it all meant. So they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly, not sinlessly, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. So they figured out she can't have kids. They're both getting past the age. Sad. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, in other words, every once in a while you got to go in. You know, you just weren't out here with the sacrifices and doing stuff with people. According to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot, not the person, but they drew lots, like rolling dice, to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So he was having an inner opportunity. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, he'd been being a priest for a long time, and this apparently had never happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense, and Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. So he hadn't had this happen before. He was scared spitless. That's not what it says, so the fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." That hadn't ever happened to anyone either. This is big stuff. So what's going through Zacharias' head? Who is this guy? What do you mean, filled with the Holy Spirit? What's Elizabeth going to say? You know, and I'm supposed to be in here burning the incense. I'm supposed to be in here worshiping God, and you got me talking about having a baby. He says, "I'm answering your prayers." Well, it wasn't the prayers he was praying right then. It's the prayers they've been praying for years and years and years. Well, why hadn't they been given before? Why a baby now? Well, because it's going to fit in with Jesus and be important. So he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And so he's being clear. A whole bunch of people that are the people of God aren't following God. Amen. And, you know, if you're God, you ought to hide those things, wouldn't you? I mean, this is bad press. The people of God aren't paying attention. They're not following. They're not keeping their end of the covenant. They're not walking with you. And he said, "It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." He's prepping them for visitation. Now, he's saying all this to Zacharias, and some people will tell you, "I was overwhelmed." This guy is off the charts overwhelmed. All these things said, and it's about his child who hasn't even been born yet. I mean, he hasn't gotten over the fact, I think, it's going to work. Hadn't worked before. And he's going to be this man of God, this type of Elijah. He's going to cause Israel to do all these things. Wow. So Zacharias said to the angel, and this is a bad response, "How will I know this for certain?" And you know, the angel wants to say, "Well, I certainly am here, and I certainly told you this." Right? Zacharias might have been an American. I mean, it's just, right? "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife," now he's very kind, "is advanced in years." So he might have thought she was listening or this was being recorded. But, and the angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel," oops, "who stands in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." So he just hears the greatest thing he's ever heard in his life, and he can't tell anybody. Imagine having a preacher get something like that from God, and he can't talk about it. I just, he hoped there were therapists, because, you know, that wouldn't that drive you nuts? I mean, he heard from God. If I hear something from the Lord, I just, boom. And he's saying, this and this and this and this and this and this. Oh, and by the way, your wife's going to be real happy too. And this and he's got to go find an Etch-a-Sketch or something to communicate with. I mean, wow. How are you going to, can you imagine writing this out on the chalkboard when you get home? Wow. And then all her questions, and you have to, he's paying a big price. So Gabriel appears to Zacharias and about the birth of John the Baptist, who's going to be the forerunner, and who is, Elizabeth is pregnant, and she's related to Mary, who's going to be Jesus' mother, and there's a connection. So all this had to happen. It happened exactly the time it had to happen. But they were barren all these years. Go make up for it. This is all, they're going to forget that ever happened. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, he's a busy man, or angel, was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, so coming in, how did he get there? Did he knock on the door? Did he come in through the wall? He just said, coming in. We're inquiring minds. We want to know this stuff. But she just shows up like this. And so Mary's going, So, and coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. A little bit of an odd greeting. She was very perplexed at this statement. The Bible is a book of understatement. And kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. I don't think that's really what she was thinking. She's not saying, I wonder what kind of salutation this is. Then she's saying, what's he talking about? The Lord is with you. She was very perplexed at this statement. Kept pondering what was the situation or salutation was. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. Isn't every encounter that you see between angels and humans, the same way with Jesus, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Have confidence in God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Doesn't explain to her how or why, just you have. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you'll name him Jesus. This is a lot of information. And he'll be great, and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, I bet she did, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, this holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. So this is encouragement for Mary. And then he makes the big statement, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then Mary has like the all forever best response. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Amen. If you want to pray and ask the Lord and you don't know how to pray, say, Lord, would you cause what's in your heart to be done in me? According to your word, let it be done to me. I'll respond. I'll cooperate. To me, that's one of the best verses to pray. And the angel of the Lord said, well, let's sit down and have a cup of tea and talk this over. No, he said he departed from her. Now, there may have been more. This is what's recorded. But just imagine Zacharias, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And then Mary, like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to tell Joseph? Oh, my gosh. Because explaining this to you, you're going to notice I'm going to get pregnant and it ain't got anything to do with you. So he encounters Mary, tells her how this is going to happen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Here we go, another angelic intervention. Only this time in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken to the Lord by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's Isaiah 7:14. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her as a virgin until she gave birth, and they called his name Jesus. This is twice we're going to see this. He awoke from it. So he woke up, and he did exactly what the Lord told him to do through the angel. And I just think, I wonder how many times I've been asleep, and the Lord told me to do something, or gave me a nudge, you know, and I thought, oh, yeah, cool. Wrote it down. He said, do that. And then I'd say, hey, Caesar, the Lord told me, do this. And then you forget to go do it. Yeah. And you see this happen twice with Joseph. The Lord, he wakes up, and the first thing he does is do what he was told to do.
Amen.
Wow. If you go back to John chapter 14, he says, you know, he equates these two things. He said, if you love me, you obey me. And if you obey me, you're loving me. That changed my life. Because I was the bad obeyer. I wasn't good. I didn't want to be told what to do by anybody. And I always thought I had a different idea, a better idea. Or I might come up with one. Or it might cost me less, so I'll wait just a little bit. But when I found out, when I obeyed, he counted as being loved. And when I loved, he counted as obeying. I just said, oh, this is going to work. This is going to work. Somehow Joseph got that. He got that. Like, okay, I don't believe any of this, but I believe all of this. Yeah. What had happened, had never happened on the earth before. No person had ever had Gabriel come and knock on their door and saying, from 9 months from now, you'll believe me. You're going to get impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Wow, 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 wow. That took something for her to believe that. I mean, angelic visitation is something. but wouldn't you think if you're the guy, wouldn't you be thinking, how am I ever going to convince Joseph of this?
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't blame him for walking away, you know, from me. In fact, it's probably legal for him to do that. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. And so what I want to say is, God has messengers because there is a Messiah.
Amen.
And because there is a Messiah and he's sending him, he sends messengers so people can get the message. And that's the most important thing. So he tells, hey, Joseph, do this. Joseph said, okay. And then he didn't sleep with her until she had the baby. That wasn't in the orders. He just did what he thought was the right thing to do. So the angel appears to Joseph, instructs him on what to do. He's going to have to get good at this because he's going to have to hear it again. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, pardon me. There were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Don't know how he got there, just suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So it wasn't just an angel, it was lights everywhere. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Humans are human, aren't they? But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid." I think maybe the Lord would send banners ahead of himself, you know. "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid." But they were shaken in their boots or sandals or whatever it is they were wearing. But "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." That's the second time that's been used. "Of great joy, which will be for all the people." All the people. You notice it doesn't say all Jewish people. It says all people. "For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in the cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased.' And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" They get to experience the splendor of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and they get direct directions from an angel of the Lord. And then there's the Fifth Street Heaven Choir coming and singing and making declaration. It doesn't say they sing, but there's so many songs that have been written out of that. I'm thinking they did. But they declared what was happening so that when they heard it, they said, "We have to go validate it. We have to make sure this is what he's saying." So they'd never had a night like that. So then, the wise men's story, Matthew chapter 2. And then we three kings show up. And verse 7, Herod secretly called the wise men. Didn't call them wise men, but and determined from them the exact time the star that they had been following appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." And after hearing the king, they went away, and the star that they had seen in the east was there. They went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down on the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another way. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Way, way, way back when I first got to be a Christian, I mean way back there, I read that verse that I just read to you. And the Lord said to me, "Worship opens up your treasures." Oh, that's good. They saw him. They fell to the ground. Got the gold, got the frankincense, got the myrrh. The act of worship opened up the release of treasure. Isn't that cool? They had an encounter. And you know, Mary didn't say, "Don't forget to tithe before you leave, boys." Right. That didn't happen. Right. But they had an encounter with the living God. Just a baby. But can you imagine if the Lord had that kind of presence around the shepherds? What kind of presence was around the baby? Yeah. Come on. And they couldn't but. Paul said, "I just can't help but love. I'm compelled. I'm propelled to love. I can't keep it back." And that's what happened to these guys. And for some people, that's how giving starts. Whatever I got. whatever you want. Isn't that wonderful? To me, that's one of the knock the ball out of the park things from the Christmas story. Worship is the key to releasing treasure. And it wasn't all money. I mean, it was gold. That's money. But, you know, it was the fragrance. You know, it was what's important, what's valuable. Not only that, incense touches other people. Huh? It's like saying, I'm having, this is a release in the natural realm of what I'm sensing in the spiritual realm. What's real that I can't see? I can breathe in. Isn't that strong? I really like that. That's very helpful to me. So, and the other little part there, I know it's a 12 o'clock kickoff today. I don't care, but I do care, but I don't care. I'll care in the fourth quarter. Be warmer then. But when you see what's happened here, it said that the Lord warned him, spoke to them after they'd had this encounter. And I know this is preacher talk, but it says they didn't go home the same way they came. So they went home another way. Yeah. Something had happened to them. They went away changed. They went away, whatever the effect of the encounter was, they went home encountered. They didn't count on that coming. In fact, they were kind of mad scientists, you know, following a star in the sky, you know. I mean, really, that this is a scientific thing. And not when they left. They couldn't leave the same. They couldn't leave the same. And the Lord warned them, because you've changed, don't go back the same way. Because you can't respond the way you would have responded before. They would have become an enemy. They'd become an enemy of the king by being there. Oh, man. Sorry, I like that. verse 13 of Matthew 2. Now when the wise men had gone, behold, an angel in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Now this is amazing. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night. He didn't say, man, I got to set the alarm clock and get up early. We got to get out of here. No. He woke. When the Lord said, get up, he thought he meant it. And he got up and said, okay, let's go. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. So an angel appears again to Joseph and instructs him to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt and stay there until it was safe to come back. Well, but that Egypt's not the promised land. No, but the promise here was death. What if he hadn't believed? What if he was saying, oh, and be cautious. I'll hire a private detective. Now, you know. No, he just said, I'm going to do what he said. So why did God go to the trouble of sending all the messengers? It's because the message was so significant. Here's why I put in your outline. No angel showed up when Chick-fil-A announced a new restaurant on Berry Road. Wasn't important enough. No angels are booked for my birthday on Tuesday. Not seen so far. And no angel showed up when they flipped the lights on in the plaza. Why? Because the message isn't as big a deal. It's because the message was about Jesus. And so he sends the messengers because of the Messiah. And that's the most important thing. But the angel said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people, for to you is born this day from the town of David the Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. So, I'm no angel, but my message is the same as theirs. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord went to incredible trouble to communicate to the people who needed to know what they needed to know when they needed to know it so they could do it when it was supposed to happen. There is a life lesson in there somewhere. Well, I don't know if an angel's ever talked to me. Well, I don't either. I have some unexplainable things that you could blame on them. And, you know, and you have to understand, with the exception of John the Baptist, none of these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's, you know, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. He hadn't gone into hell and taken the keys yet. He hadn't ascended into heaven yet. He hadn't poured the real blood out on the real altar in the real heaven. He hadn't poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost yet. So they really needed angelic involvement. Because many times, even when the prophets are speaking for the Lord, it'll say an angel of the Lord appeared. They were getting the information from God through an angelic minister. Well, can he still do that? He does do that, of course, because that's their job. It says that's what they do. They're here to minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. So I know I've said this a million times, but I think we need to get them off the unemployment line. I mean, I don't have time, but if 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has stored up for those who love him. Well, who are the people who love him? That would be us. And there's a storehouse, and it's full of stuff, and we haven't seen it. We haven't even imagined it. And so I have this picture in my head, and I can't prove this. Don't go look up forklift in your concordance, because it ain't in there. But I see angels sitting on forklifts saying, oh, where's that Harmony Vineyard box? Let's go get that and give it to them. And because somebody down there is praying and believes that 1 Corinthians 2 is true. And Lord, what's there that we haven't seen, that we haven't heard, that hasn't entered into our hearts or our hands, and there are things that you want us to have? I want to speak to those angels now, because they're mighty in strength to obey your word, to obey the voice of your word, to do your will, to bring pleasure to you, and it brings pleasure of you to love on those who are yours. But isn't that cool? No, that's biblical. Now, they aren't unemployment. You know what I'm saying? That's preacher talk. But they're not engaged always in the things they could be engaged in, because they're waiting for the voice of the Lord. And when we speak the word of God, that is the will of God, then we're feeding into their purpose, and they can obey, proving their loyalty and their love to him by their ministry to us. That's what happened. Nobody that got spoken to there by an angel got cheated of anything. I mean, it was all a deep enrichment that came through. And so I just want to encourage you, it's kind of like a Christmas present type thing. And I know I rallied this a little bit last week, but can you see in something as important as introducing Jesus to the world, angelic involvement, angelic involvement, angelic involvement, angelic involvement, timing that fit the prophetic words and all that kind of stuff. I just kind of encourage you to, this week, read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about the first 6 or 8 verses. And eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and it has not entered into the heart of man what the Lord has stored up.
That's right.
Storehouse. Stored up for those who love him. And I'll just say, Lord, you know, I'm not very good at this. There are people that probably love you better and more consistently than I do, but the book says this, and I have confidence in you to do what the word says. And I have more confidence in what the word says than how I obey and what my level of intensity is, although I try to be intense. But you know what? He has 1,000,000% confidence in the word of God, which is his son, and what his son said. and what the Holy Spirit has revealed to those who wrote those books, you know? And so you can stand on, well, I don't even know. I wish I could shut up so you could go home. But but if you knew how many times people have stood like right here and told me, "Pastor John, did you see him?" I said, "I saw a lot of people." "What?" He said, "You had a 16-foot angel behind you today." And I said, "Well, I'm glad he wasn't standing in front of me, then I couldn't have seen anything." But over and over and over, I've heard this from different people numbers of times. Well, I'm too much involved in what I'm doing. Now, do you really, can that happen? Well, yeah, sure. Because, right? When you're not seeing them, they're invisible. They'd have the capacity of being visible, right? I mean, Peter's knocking on the door. Little slave girl answers the door and said, "Peter, how you doing? Go tell him I'm here." "Well, that can't be Peter. He's in jail and we're praying for him." It maybe is his angel, who obviously had shown up. How would they know? Well, that's his angel because he always knocks invisibly at the door. No, I don't think that. So was there visibility there? Yes. Did they see Gabriel? Did they? Right. Didn't Daniel see the angel when he was prophesied to? Yes. And the shepherds. These are, you know, 9-to-5 guys, you know, blue collar guys, shepherds. They're gonna, you know, they're not gonna lie about this stuff. They're not gonna make anything up. No, they were like right here, and then they were like right there, and bunch of them. It's not spooky, and you don't have to be afraid, because what we're wanting to do is to cooperate with the blessing of the Lord. And one of the ways He blesses them is that blesses people as He sends angelic involvement. When Jesus got down in the wilderness, what happened? First thing that happened. Devil leaves, angels come. People tell me all the time, "I'm in warfare, I'm being attacked, I'm pushing it back, I'm fighting against this." Then I would ask for what he got when he was done fighting. I've done that a number of times, Lord. I don't know what the angels did for Jesus, but if he needed it, knock me out. Overwhelm me. I want what he needed, if that's what I need. If not, please send them with what I need, because that's their job to do that. Are we okay? Okay, that's good. I want to challenge you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this week, that first part of it anyway, and just see if that doesn't turn you on to include angelic visitation. Lord, thank you for how carefully you attended to the birth of Jesus and all of these encounters that involved all these different people. So there are all these different witnesses to these miraculous events. And it's not like we just have to throw a dart at the board and say, "Well, gee, I hope that's the truth." Person after person after person after person is included. Then groups of people. Lord, thank you that you did things in a way that are absolutely beyond many things we've experienced, and at the same time, nothing that you don't want us to have part in. We would like to be like those three wise men that went away different. And so, Lord, we put ourselves in your hand. We volunteer to have that encounter. Now look up at me for just a minute, because I'm going to quit. Somebody asked me the other day, "What was your favorite Christmas?" All of them? None of them? I didn't know. I just thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had to tell our kids, our neighbors, our friends, our grandkids, our co-workers, "Man, Christmas is 25 was the deal. That's when I got this. Maybe that's when he got me. But something happened between me and God that was never under the tree. Lord, I just present that to you. I guarantee you those wise men never had a trip like the one they had for the first Christmas. And they probably all sent it a little different. But I pray that we would have an encounter with you. So we would, it'd be like a bookmark. I've really enjoyed some things, but that was the Lord. We just dare to believe that you do things like that. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that's how we're going to leave it. Okay? Next Sunday, we have the kids in with us. And then don't forget Christmas Eve, okay? All right. See you on Wednesday.